Hello, Cubs fans. This is David in Alexandria, Virginia, and this episode of the Ivy Envy podcast is brought to you by Ivy Envy Patreon supporters like me. You can learn more at patreon.com/IvyEnvy.
Hi, and thanks for downloading this episode of the IVMB podcast. It's the post weekend at the lake. We're exhausted, and the Cubs play tonight, so let's knock out a quick episode. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I am joined by the other two hosts of this podcast.
Hey, it's Andy, not exhausted.
Yeah, right.
Kurt, very exhausted. Looking forward to sleeping in a real bed.
Oh, man. There's a lot of things. Cool air. No humidity, no bugs. I'm looking forward to a lot of that kind of stuff tonight.
Eating something that's not a hot dog.
Or pizza, or an entire candy bar because, oh, it's sitting next to me. Why would I not eat it?
So, normally my body's a temple, but man, the weekend at the lake, I really treat it like a garbage dump.
Well, before we get into everything, buying tickets online for sports and concerts has been a confusing process for a long time. It's always hard to find the best deal for that game or that show that you want to go to, and none of those older ticket sites want to change that, and that's why SeatGeek is different. They've come along and they've created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. You've heard us talk about our SeatGeek experiences in the past. I'm actually making a quick trip to Texas this week, and I picked up some Astros Cardinals tickets on SeatGeek and got a great price on them. It's really the only place I look for secondary market tickets. SeatGeek does all the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring that you get the best deal possible. They do all the work and they save you time and money. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every seat on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You will immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Best of all, our listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get to your $20 rebate, download the SeatGeek app, go to settings and tap on add a promo code. Enter the promo code IVY, it's IVY in all capital letters, and then SeatGeek will send you a $20 check after you've made your first ticket purchase. So download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code IVY today. So, as it's been established, I'm exhausted, and I know that several people listening to this episode are probably exhausted.
Yeah, because they were there.
Thanks for connecting those dots for me, Andy.
Yeah, I mean, they were totally there. That's why they're tired.
Yeah, so thanks to everybody that came out. And I don't like naming specific people because then I'll inevitably leave somebody out and I'll feel bad. But I did want to especially thank Kevin and George for coming down from Toronto, and then Raphael, who flew up from Brazil and got stuck for, 24 hours in Mexico yeah. City, eventually made it to Chicago without any luggage. It's somewhere between Mexico City and Chicago. And then took the train down to Galesburg. So what a guy. I mean, he was determined to get out here, and he's super nice.
Raphael, nice. You're a champ, man. Great to meet you.
Yeah, and Andy, yeah, just
the rest of the trip is an improvement.
Yeah, that's what I was like. Well, I guess it can't get much worse, so just go to some Cubs games. And oh man, I forgot I was going to send him with an IV. He didn't have any clothes, and I forgot I was going to give him some shirts and stuff, and I forgot. I was going to give him an IVMB shirt.
In this case, the thought that count doesn't really apply.
right. I'll definitely take one up on Tuesday for him. I'm going to see him up there.
The action that counts this time around.
But Andy, you were saying that Raphael was talking with you and found, I guess, our
activity. Our cultural tradition of camping in the summertime.
Right. It's odd to him.
Yeah, he was saying in Brazil we don't camp. He said he just asked me if, you know, is this something you guys do? I mean, is this what you do when you get together? And yeah, pretty frequently is.
He's like, so when are we going to go inside?
But yeah, it was interesting to kind of talk to him and get a feel for how what we do is pretty different than a lot of other people's experience.
Yeah, yeah. And also, speaking of people that came long distances, Josh drove up all the way from Louisiana, and he came a day early and helped me set stuff up, so I really appreciated that. So he's also a fellow podcaster. He does Always Listening, and that's a podcast where they review other podcasts. They've, in fact, I think they reviewed us on their very first episode. So
yeah. Check. Used to be called Pod on Pod, right?
Right, yeah. So
okay,
check them out.
I want to say something about Josh. Thanks, Josh, for teaching me about Poseidon's kiss. And Poseidon's kiss is when you're using the toilet and you get a little splashback.
I'll tell you, man, I had so much fun. I wish everybody that's listening to this, to quote Pat Hughes, I wish all of you could be here right now. I wish all of you could have been here. There were so many fun discussions, and just like it was such a blast. I think one of my like campfire highlights was last night when Heather and John were arguing whether or not we could go to the moon. The great thing about it was that John thought that Heather meant like civilization can't go back to the moon. And Heather was saying that like we as a group could not go to the moon. And just watching that argument unfold was pretty incredible.
So many problems get solved around the campfire. The world's ills. All these great minds coming together late at night.
Frequently foggy minds.
Right. Then you solve the world's problems and forget about them the next day.
Right, exactly. I also want to thank Michael from Galesburg for hosting us Saturday morning for Wiffle Ball. That was awesome. I think everybody had a blast over there. And
one of the best moments of the weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Great. And I would say that Duffy's did not disappoint.
It did not let me down. Right away, my eyes were like, they locked in on guy at the bar who had brought his own box of Cheez-Its to the bar.
I noticed that too.
Bring your own snacks.
I was hoping, like, I was kind of nervous, like, walking the first group over from the restaurant over to Duffy's. I was like, maybe we've built up Duffy's too much. Like, they're going to, like, just expect this, like, incredible experience and then walk in and, like, it's all right. But
yeah, it's fine.
I don't know. I really enjoy it. I liked it that I've never been in the women's room at Duffy's, and Beth went in there, and there's a medicine cabinet, and she opened it up, and it has a curling iron.
I'm disappointed the men's room didn't have a curling iron, because I could have used a little touch-up.
Oh, man. So good. Oh, and I don't know if you guys heard this story, and I'll share it with everybody. So as we went in, I kind of walked a couple groups over there from the restaurant we were at, which is real close. And then I went back over, and I came back over with the last group, and it was pretty crowded in there at that point. And it was real easy to tell who was with our group and who wasn't, because everyone on the left, except for Chase, was not with our group. Everyone sitting at the bar. And then everyone else trying to find places to stand and sit. They were with our group. But anyway, so I go in and I went to the back and I was kind of like standing there, like just trying to, like, it was bright out and I came in and it's dark in there, you know, you can't see very well. And I was like trying to get my bearings and find my money to go up and buy my $5 pitcher of Old Style. And this lady like starts complaining because I was standing between her and the TV because the Cubs game had just started. And then later, she went back and talked to Tony, I guess, or he overheard her, or she was talking to him, and she was like, she was so mad that we were there. Like, I have never seen any of these people in here before. I have never seen these people in here. I guarantee you, they're just here for the free beer. That's all it is.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. We don't care about the Cubs at all.
Right.
And yeah, Corey, that's probably like your 30th time in there. Yeah. But yeah, it just didn't let me down. I mean, somebody muscled their way through us to use the video gaming machine.
Of course.
You know, so that it's not a Duffy's day at Duffy's without that. I got some really narrow-minded commentary about some things that were showing on the screen at the game, you know, coming from the bar. It's just, I mean, it had it all.
Yeah, even the $5 pitcher only costing $3.
Yeah.
Oh, and how about...
At some point, like people started ordering $3 pitchers, and he just filled it all the way up to the top.
How about that Addison Russell home run that got everybody a free round?
Yeah, that was nice.
That was pretty nice. And then I also got most of the bar chanting, "Let's get six" in the ninth inning.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Then I realized I probably should have done seven because that would have been the winning run.
Right. But after you walked past, somebody was like, "What about seven?
What about seven? How about seven, you idiot?"
That was probably me.
But you know what? Like, Duffy's is not a place where, you know, accurate math is typically exercise, so you're probably all right.
I could have said five and nobody would have really noticed and probably still chanted.
Yeah. So anyway, it was so much fun this weekend. Everything was incredible, and I just think the fact that, like, we ended up with probably around 40 people, and I think the fact that 40 people set aside a weekend to come hang out with us, blow off some steam and escape real life for a while, I mean, I'm going to speak on behalf of you guys, but that means a lot to us. So,
absolutely,
yeah. And I have some new things to add to the studio. I got you guys got one too, a Matt Garza gnome, a Brewers Matt Garza gnome, yeah. Garden gnome from Justin. Yeah, and all sorts of beer from different areas. And I'm not going to put that in the studio. I'm going to drink that, but
put that in the studio. That is your tummy.
Yeah, exactly.
Tummy studio.
Yeah. But speaking of being pooped, the Luggable Lou was not as much. It was not used as much as I had hoped.
I think only once or twice.
It had been used a couple times. I washed it out, and whoever used it, I thank you. That means a lot to me. So,
I think Danny can give you a full report on.
Well, somebody asked me how it worked. I think Liz did. And so I walked over to give her a demonstration. I opened it up and the bag was full of pee, and I was so excited. It was like Christmas morning. Somebody used it. Somebody used the Luggable Lou.
Yeah, well, Danny told me he experienced Poseidon's kiss when he was using it.
Oh, man. That's so much fun. We could talk about this forever. So I guess we'll move on, but yeah, it was a ton of fun. I look forward to next year. It's going to be good. So Andy, at the end of our last episode, I guess that was Wednesday that we recorded. We recorded during the night game and against the Angels, and we mentioned that Pedro Strop was leaving the game. And I guess now we have more information on his injury.
We do. Yeah, he had an MRI shortly after it happened, and what they found was a torn meniscus in his left knee that occurred while sliding to field that slow roller. So he's already had arthroscopic surgery on it. He's already had the procedure, and he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. So that will put his return right around some point in the playoffs, basically, as the last game of the regular season for the Cubs is what, October 2nd. And so, yeah, somewhere in there, and hopefully sooner rather than later. I know he has expressed a great desire to pitch in the playoffs, and he deserves to.
Oh, wait a minute. I just figured out what this is. This was, remember last year or the year before when the Cubs moved people down during the minor league playoffs series? And everybody acted in like other teams, like I think it was Reds fans acted like the Cubs were trying to like cheat their way to championships. That's what's happening here. Like he's going to come back, have to do a rehab during South Bend's playoff series.
Oh yeah, you're probably right. Yeah, because like Mike Olt helped Tennessee win a game.
Yeah.
And it was against the Cardinals.
Because we know that it wasn't. We know Theo only cares about the minor leagues. So
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, it's bad news. It's bad news for the Cubs. Their bullpen got worse. And so hopefully he's kind of more on the 4 week end of that injury span.
Well, can I play devil's advocate here? Like, it is bad news because you don't want to see anybody injured, but with a right now, 13-game lead, do you feel like the Cubs really need Strope right now? I mean, I guess based on what we saw in yesterday's game, maybe it would help, but I kind of feel like saving his arm, like him getting a month off from pitching or 6 weeks off and then coming back right before the playoffs really could be potentially a good thing if he's well-rested and hasn't been used, 15 times or something in that stretch.
Well, that's a good point, you nefarious advocate. I think, yeah, fresh Strope could be really good. But, you know, that being said, hopefully he has enough time to kind of get some momentum and get some reps and things like that in the minors and get back up to speed and look like the Pedro Strope we know he can be.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'd rather have him be a lightly used, healthy Strope than injured and kind of, like you said, try to get back up to speed Strope. That you kind of don't know he doesn't know what it's going to be like to pitch after. And so he's got a little bit of work to do there that I'd rather not have to have him go through.
Hmm. Oh, well, yeah, sit down then, Mr. Advocate.
I think the time off is good. Moving on. Well, okay, so I referenced yesterday's game, and since we're talking about the bullpen here, I thought that could kind of be a part of this shorter episode. Saturday's game was really frustrating, but I think it's important to remember that the bullpen is going to blow games. You hate to see it happen against the Cardinals, but Carl Edwards Jr. has had control issues over the last few years in the minors, pretty significant control issues, like to the point where, like, will he be serviceable? Unless he was able to fix his control issues, it was tough to see him being an effective pitcher. And I feel like he's been pretty effective lately, although he still has walked a lot of guys. But things really fell apart on Saturday. He gave up 5 runs and 4 walks in 2/3 of an inning. What did he have? Didn't he have 2 wild pitches? And I don't know if the first one was a pass ball, the one that on the Molina strikeout that would have ended the inning.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that was ruled a pass ball or a wild pitch, but.
But there was one that bounced off the wall so hard that the runner at third had to hold. So the one didn't hurt him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the wide left one was I don't know. It was rough.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was kind of wondering if maybe it was good for him to have those struggles, you know, to experience some hardship, because it does seem like lately he's been cruising. It's not to say he hasn't had some, you know, tough moments, but for the most part, it seems like it's been easy for him.
Right. Lately, he's looked really sharp. But this is like, I think in a way, this is kind of, I don't think like control is necessary. I mean, I'm not a pitching coach. Let's be clear with that. But I think sometimes control isn't just like fixed with the flip of a switch, you know? So I don't think you can just like be able to master your control immediately. I think like little bumps in the road like this, like will happen with Edwards Jr. And I think that like if he can come out in his next appearance or two and kind of dominate like we had seen him doing lately, I think that's probably a good sign to see him make these mistakes. I mean, there had to have been something wrong. I don't know if it's his release point. I don't know if it's, you know, something in his mechanics. Something had to have been wrong on Saturday. And I think that he probably knows what it was. Bazio knows what it is. And so they can probably work on those things and fix it. But I don't know about you guys, but I'm having a real hard time like formulating thoughts tonight.
Thoughts, sentences.
Words. Sentence construction. Yeah, but how about Hendricks' game? A 12-strikeout game. I mean, it was a career high. He gave up the 2 solo shots, so it's still a decent outing. Gave up those 2 runs. But
didn't walk anybody.
Yeah, and then the last 3 games, I mean, he went 9 innings that complete game, and then he went almost 8 in his last outing. He went 7 in this outing, and so I'm hoping that's not a trend, like it just keeps going down. But so
dude's been good. I thought you were going to throw out another 311 reference. I thought you might see how many of those you could get going in a row.
I think I'm going to try to avoid those for a while, if that's cool with you guys. Yeah,
I'd prefer it. Yeah.
But anyway.
He looked good. Although, you know, the same thing. Like, I don't, here in August and September, I don't feel the need for Kyle Hendricks to be going out and pitching 8 innings or 7 2/3 or any more than that. Because, I mean, he's pitching really well, and I feel like it would be really, I think it would really help the Cubs to have him performing at this level in the playoffs. And I think if you throw another 6 weeks of 7-8 plus innings, that's a lot of pressure on him, and that's a lot of wear and tear on his arm too.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I'd love to see him only go 7, you know, when he, you know, 7 in an outing, and then the bullpen hopefully can lock it down the rest of the way. But just like we have already said on the podcast, it was pretty great to see that he has the ability to go deep in games. Whereas last year, it didn't really seem like he was a threat to do that very much.
Right. Yeah. I want to. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to jump back to the bullpen stuff for a second. You know, I think in look, I mean, yesterday's game, Saturday's game was really frustrating. Like I said, I think especially because it was the Cardinals and because they're, you know, it kind of felt like, hey, the Cubs might sweep this series, which would just bury the Cardinals, you know. And at this point, like, I think they're pretty much buried for the division, and I would like to see the Cubs play a role in burying them from the wild card. But I think that it is important to remember that from here on out, these games can and will happen. And the Cubs are really good, but even really good teams with pretty good bullpens are going to blow games. And I looked, and the Cubs bullpen is ranked 19th when it comes to FIP. And I think that throughout the season, the Cubs offense has and will continue to kind of bail out the bullpen. They've taken a lot of pressure off the bullpen by just, you know, racking up tons of runs. But I think it's important to remember that, like, I think, like, this team is so good that I think a lot of fans are kind of falling into that whole, like, when they do something that every baseball team does, but we haven't seen a lot of this year, then it feels like that is a glaring deficit and there's something definitely wrong. And I think it's really important to remember that that's probably not the case.
Yeah. I'm definitely guilty of falling into that myself. Like when you're watching the one game and some bullpen guys out there blowing it, it's hard not to overreact, but that's also kind of the fun of it.
Right. It's
what gives us stuff to talk about, at least.
Yeah. So did you guys see that the Cubs are one of the teams looking at Papelbon, Jonathan Papelbon? Buster Olney tweeted that today.
I didn't. That's first I've heard of that.
Yeah. So
but he and Chapman would get along great.
Right. I don't know, man. I don't know if I can stomach Lackey, Chapman, and Papelbon on this team. But on the other hand... I'm going to argue with myself.
There's
here.
Another hand.
Yeah.
Let's fill the clubhouse with poison.
Well, okay. So I don't know if we really want to get into this, but do we want to shed the lovable losers tag that we have?
Oh, I mean, man, that's a bigger topic than I expected.
Yeah. I mean, do we want to be the lovable losers? Do we want to be lovable? Do we want to win a World Series? And maybe we can't win the World Series with just young, handsome men with great smiles. Maybe you can't do that. And
you're saying you can't win as the lovable winners.
Maybe you can't. I mean, I'm not saying that like maybe there aren't enough lovable winners to put together. You know, there's just a couple of gaps that you need to fill with people like Chapman and Papelbon, I guess. I feel like we've had to stomach a few of these signings, you know, like I mentioned Lackey and Chapman. And I totally understand why fans don't like that. You know, it feels like it kind of like, in a way, I think that some fans think that it changes the, I guess, the personality of the team, or just like what we think of the team. And I don't think we necessarily need to love every player on a team and on this team. And I think, like, are we willing to sacrifice better odds, are we willing to sacrifice the idea that this team is pure, you know, from these types of players? Do we want to sacrifice like an opportunity or better odds at winning the World Series just to be able to say that?
Well, it's too late now. I mean, it's a done deal.
Right. I feel like willing to accept a couple of those, and I feel like that we've already reached my threshold. Like, we have them.
But, okay, so yeah, say they – and I'm not arguing for Papelbon. Well, let me rephrase that. I'm arguing for Papelbon if he helps this team win a World Series. You know, I don't think that and I get it. It's not like I want someone like that chokes Bryce Harper, you know. I don't want a guy like that.
Well, wait a second. We don't.
I like Bryce Harper. but like, I just kind of feel like at this point the front office and the ownership, like, they want to win a World Series. And I think that I kind of trust them. I mean, they have a history with Papelbon too. So I kind of feel like they're going after, in a way, like, they went after Lackey, and it's like they probably knew, like, he's not going to ruin this clubhouse. You know, I think that they understand the personalities. They understand their own team better. I don't think that adding a guy like Chapman was tough to stomach for everybody, and I think we're all kind of still struggling with that. But Aroldis Chapman coming out and pitching the ninth inning does not change what I think about this team. As far as when I think of, like, the young and exciting players and the players that I enjoy watching and the players that, to me, when I think the 2016 Cubs, I think Rizzo, Bryant, Baez, you know, this is who I think of. I'm not thinking Chapman, Lackey.
Yeah, but there'll always be that little asterisk. You know,
but is it an asterisk? I mean, every team has guys like that on it, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, but two opposing fans, they're always going to throw that. But that's fine. I mean,
in addition to that, I feel like I've already seen a season of a lot of success of lovable winners in 2015, even though they didn't take it to the house. I think that'll be one of the most memorable seasons of my life.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah. Yeah.
I think another point is that, like, you know, we talked about this too, but, like, we're emotional fans, and we evaluate this of, like, likability or things like that. But we also sometimes forget that baseball is a multi-billion dollar industry, and they're not just making it for those reasons, but in that kind of an economy, you make decisions that you might have to do a little compromising on. And,
well, I think those are the moves that just kind of put you over the top.
Yeah.
You know, like, if the Cubs were to win the World Series in 2016, almost every guy that I think in the future, like, when I think back to the World Series team or the 2016 team, even if they don't do that, I'm thinking of the guys that were on the 2015 team. Like, that's the Cubs to me. And like, adding little pieces, especially bullpen. I mean, what happens if the bullpen, they don't make moves to make the bullpen stronger? What if they didn't get Chapman? What if they potentially don't get Papelbon? And again, I'm not saying that they should, because I honestly don't know. I mean, I don't know.
That's a good way to bring up this discussion.
So, I don't know. I just kind of feel like, I don't know where I was going with it, so whatever.
It's an interesting topic. I'm glad you brought it up. I mean, I think the Papelbon was just a way to get into that discussion. So,
like, do you feel like it ruins the 20? Like, do you think if the Cubs win the World Series this year, you're going to be like, yeah, that was awesome, but man, I wish Papelbon wasn't on that team?
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. Like, they win the World Series. That's not really going to even
we'll probably be on forget my radar he was on the too team. Much.
What's that?
We'll probably forget he was on that team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think winning the World Series, and you know, you have a few guys like that, I think we're not even going to care post-win.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. So that was my evaluation of whether or not they should get Papelbon. I didn't look at numbers. I just figured, like, I trust the front office. I don't know. I'm willing to stomach some of these guys that I would think that maybe wouldn't be the best fits for the team just because it's short term. And I don't know. I want to see the Cubs win the World Series. And I'm not saying throw everything out the window, you know, as far as what this team is or the character of the team is, but I don't know. So anyway,
well, so how about the Carrie Muscat reporting that the fire alarm went off in the Cubs' house during Friday's game, and she had a great joke. It was like, "Don't worry, it's not because of the recent Cubs hot streak." Just kind of got a kick out of that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I have to admit, so like, let's kind of talk a little bit about this Cardinals series, but I have to admit, I mean, I didn't get the, I was helping, you know, set up tents and stuff like that on Friday, so I kind of missed, plus that game was out of control pretty quickly, so I missed a lot of that, and then Saturday, you know, just at Duffy's, just hanging out with people and talking and stuff, you know.
You look when someone cheers.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to like stare at a game that's one of 162 when I get to hang out with people that I would rarely get to see. So that's, you know. So I don't have a whole lot to add to this. I just think that when it comes to the Cardinals series, I think that if it's a split, I don't consider it a failure because the Cubs will end the series up 12 games. So.
Yeah, I would agree. Well, they'd also split the season series. Or no, wait, I think they're split right now. So this winner of this game will take the season. Not that that really matters to me, but...
Well, they still play again, right?
Have not. Do they play again?
Yeah, okay. I think so. They play in September.
All right, well then forget what I just said. At least they'll be up or down.
Yeah, I think they play like a midweek series in September in St. Louis.
But how great was that 13-2 beatdown? That was pretty awesome. Matt Caesar had his first multi-homer game of his career. And it just, the Cubs were on fire in that game. And I mean, that's what caused the fire alarm to go off, according to Kerry.
Boy, would that have been a game to go to at Duffy's. 5 home runs.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man, we would have never left.
Well, I don't
have to stay there for a while.
I mean, okay, so I want to, can we jump back to Duffy's talk just for a second? how much did you guys spend at Duffy's?
Oh, wow.
$5.
Yeah, I spent $5.
I'm pretty sure $5 as well.
Yeah.
I would be interested to know, for the people listening that were there, tweet at us and use the hashtag spent at Duffy's. Tell us how much
you get the highest.
Yeah, I want to know who spent the most money at Duffy's, because I don't think anybody... I would say $10 had to have been the highest amount, and there was a lot of pitchers being consumed.
And Duffy's profit 10. For the day was $28.
That was higher than usual. So anything else you guys want to talk about with this Cardinals series?
No, I just think Judd Jerko sounds like a Star Wars bounty hunter's name. It doesn't even sound real. Randall Grichuk is still terrible. Chris Bryant for the win. Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, so hopefully they win tonight. I'm looking forward to tonight's game, and I feel like it's been a while since I've just been able to like sit down and veg out and watch a game. So
yeah, I'm planning on actually really watching tonight's game.
Yeah,
fairly meticulously.
Yeah, I'm hoping to as long as I can before I fall asleep.
Yeah, I know. I'll probably make it like the sixth inning, because I fell asleep during the Thursday night's game. I fell asleep in the ninth and missed the extra innings win. So, Kurt, do you have a scary stat of the week?
I sure do. Thanks to Andy for throwing this one my way. But Soler has been back for 7 games now. And his offensive numbers are, well, here's his slash line: 409, 435, 864. He's got 9 hits in 22 at bats, and a third of those have been home runs and 1 double. So 4 of the 9 hits have been extra bases, and he's just tearing it up. So it's good to have him back, because I know he only played a couple games in Iowa before he came back, and he only had 1 hit in those 2 games, which I think is a little unfair to look at that as a how he was going to do when he came back. But thankfully he's not hitting 1 something, and he's tearing it up.
Yeah. Yep. And fun to watch. I love watching Jorge Soler at bats. Do you guys have any internet muscle flexes?
I didn't get one this week.
Did you say that you didn't, Kurt?
I do not.
Oh, okay. All right. So I have one. And unfortunately, somebody sent it to me, I think through Twitter, and I just saved the image. And so I don't have the person's name who sent it, which kind of stinks. So I apologize. And you know what? Somebody sent me, here's the problem with like social media and technology these days. Somebody sent me an amazing muscle flex earlier in the week, and I can't find it. But like, so I don't know if it was emailed to me, Facebook message, tweeted. I can't find it. And it was really good, and I'm bummed that I can't find it. So if you sent it to me, and I know that I responded and said that I liked it, and that it was an amazing muscle flex, please send it to me again, because it was really good. And I tried to find it tonight and I couldn't. But
I lied last minute. I have one.
Okay. Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Okay. This was from Twitter, and this is a Cardinals fan commenting on Anthony Rizzo. And it says, tell at a Rizzo 44, if he keeps hugging the plate, they should just get married already. And he had an F word in there too. I went and deleted that, but
mine has an F word too.
Great.
Okay. So mine is, so again, this came from someone, I wish I could give you credit, but it's a Twitter, muscle flex. And, so the person says, at Dexter Fowler, another day off for you. Why don't you start earning your paychecks and start playing every day and stop being an effing welfare player?
What?
Whoa.
No way.
Whoa.
Well, what in the heck? That's pure madness.
Yep. There you go. That guy exists.
So then starting pitchers are based, I don't know what's worse than a welfare player, but
yeah,
they're that.
Right. They only want to go out once every 5 days. That's all they want to. You know, like Dexter Fowler, he did you guys know he's going to Joe Madden and requesting days off? Yeah. So that does it for this episode. Things weren't quite put together on this episode, but that's all right. The weekend was all about the activities out here, and thinking about and preparing for the podcast wasn't exactly on the top of the list, kind of put on the back burner. So if you missed the weekend at the lake, don't worry. You'll get a chance in 2017. And this episode was brought to you by all of our Patreon supporters. We have a new supporter to thank this week, Jay in Falls Church, Virginia. So thank you, Jay. And if you like what we do here, you can help us pay the podcasting bills and make everyone's IVMV experience better by going to patreon.com/IVMV. That's patreon.com/IVMV. So thanks for listening and downloading. We'll be back on Thursday night to talk about the Cubs Brewer series. It's taking place at Wrigley this week. I'm going to Tuesday's makeup game, so that'll be fun. And then I'm actually going to Houston, going to wear my Cubs hat and cheer on the Astros to hopefully put the Cardinals a little bit further down in the division. So until Thursday night, go Cubs.
And the stars align. We're gonna pop champagne. Gonna pop champagne by the lakeside.